Psalms 112. Psalms 112, we'll read the whole chapter. It's not very long, 10 verses. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light, in the darkness he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." First one again is where we want to pull the thought this evening. "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." I want to look at just a simple thought this evening on evidence of a God-centered life. Evidence on a God-centered life. And we've been looking at the Beatitudes on Sunday nights, the last several Sunday nights. And each one starts with that word blessed, which means happy. And I think most people want to be happy. I mean, we look around and we see a lot of people that's not happy. I think most people are seeking to be happy, but they don't know how to be. In essence, they really don't know how to be. And that phrase, "they're blessed as the man," is used 13 times in the Bible. And in each case, there are conditions that's connected to this promise that God's given. So if we're going to be blessed or happy, we must meet the conditions that God gives for Him to be able to bless us. And Psalms 1:1 in this Psalms chapter 1 is my life chapter. That I love this chapter, and it begins with, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Psalms 32 verse 2 has that phrase again, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Psalms 34 verse 8, the Bible says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Psalm 65 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Psalms 84 verse 5, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." Psalms 84 verse 12, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Psalm 94 verse 12, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." Psalms 112 verse 1 again, he said, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Proverbs 8 verse 34, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 to 2. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil." Jeremiah 17:7, the Bible said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Romans 4 verse 8, the Bible said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." James chapter 1 verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And the thing that these verses have in common is where it says, blessed is the man. And that condition that if you look at all those verses, there's a condition attached to that phrase, blessed, or to be happy, or happy is the man that does these things. And there are some conditions that God gives us if we're going to live a blessed and a happy life as we go through this world that we're living in. And I want to look this evening at the characteristics of the individual that God blesses and the consequences of those blessings that God bestows on those that He blesses. And so, number one, we see the characteristics of the man who God blesses. Number one, he fears the Lord, there in verse 1. There in chapter 112, verse 1, he said, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That word fear has a threefold range of meaning if you begin to look it up. And one meaning is dread or terror. And another one is to stand in awe in reference to a king. And number three, to revere, to respect. And to fear the Lord means also to think reverently concerning God and to walk in His ways. Fearing God has two aspects. The first is reverence. And it is a sacred awe of God's holiness, and it involves the kind of respect and reverence that results in the fear of the Lord. And the second aspect is fear of God's displeasure. Genuine faith acknowledges God's right to chasten, His right to correct, and His right to judge. And we know that that word fear also carries the meaning of to be afraid of. And so if you reverence God and you give Him the honor that He's due in your life, then I believe it'll develop a healthy fear of God in our lives that we'll be don't want to get to that place and point that we bring a reproach upon God, and then the aspect of what will come from that sin and from dishonoring God in our lives. And you read there in Psalms 111 verse 10. The Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding. Have all they that do this, do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. And we know that the several places in Proverbs we see where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's just a fact of wisdom is knowing how to use the knowledge that God's given us, how to apply that knowledge to our lives. And I believe that when you and I get to the point in place in our lives where we have that healthy fear of God, it'll regulate how we live and the things that we get involved with. And I believe that we'll have a reverence for God that we will not want to bring a reproach upon His name and upon the testimony that He's given us as being Christian. But then we see not only some of the indicators, I believe, of an individual that doesn't fear the Lord are just a casualness towards God. Just speaking nonchalantly or frivolous manner about God. Calling Him the old man sitting upstairs and different things like that. Or just one of the boys, you know. That's just a casualness towards God that tries to bring Him down to the level that we're on in the relation. How we relate Him to our lives and to others that are around us. Just a casualness. And really, this world just has a casualness towards God in their everyday walk. And then not only a casualness, but then a cavalier attitude towards sin. It's sad today that Christians have a careless attitude towards sin. But it's filled our churches. It's filled our land. People that claims to be saved, they just got a cavalier attitude towards sin. They don't think much about what sin is no more. And we just get so callous to that, that it's just, becomes normal in our lives. The things that we are involved in our lives and that we associate life with a lot of times. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13, the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And so we see that If we're not careful, we won't develop a healthy fear of God. And there's no fear in this land. There's no fear. We've used it for illustration a lot of times. You know, you used to see cars and they had that no fear on them. And this world is not fearful anymore. If this world had the right kind of fear, Darrell wouldn't go into work on Monday and the Cadillac converters be off of all their trucks. I mean, people are brave, they're brass, they'll slide up under a vehicle or go on someone's carport knowing there's cameras around. They'll go in stores knowing and just bust up things. There's no fear anymore. And there's sure no reverence for God in their lives. Psalms 1:1 again says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Hey, men are not fearful anymore. That's why we've got so much wickedness in this world. The Bible tells us this is coming. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we're seeing that take place in our lives today. You look at the news and to see the riots and the openness of people of breaking in places and tearing up things, pulling down statues and all. There's no fear of government. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of anything much anymore because of the place that we're at in our lives. Someone said that the fear of the Lord, an inward attitude of humble reverence toward God that results in an outward expression of Christ-likeness in our lives. The fear of the Lord, an inward attitude of humble reverence toward God that results in outward expression of Christ-likeness. Not only does God bless the individuals that fear Him, but also God blesses those who delight greatly in His commandments. There in verse 1, He said, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." Psalms 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I tell you what, if you fall in love with God's law and His commandments, there's something that will develop in your life. I believe it'll help you to help us to develop a healthy fear of God in our lives. It'll develop a fresh love for the Lord Jesus in our life. It's not enough to fear God, but we must also love Him in our lives. I mean, it's one thing any parent that's worth their salt, so to speak, a kid's gonna have to love them. But they're also going to have to fear them. If they don't, then the battle's not going to get won. John 14, verse 21 said, "He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, is he it is that loveth me." John 14, 15 said, "If you love me, keep my commandment." Someone said, fear would deter us from evil and love will lead us to obedience. If we get the right kind of fear, it'll deter us from getting in trouble. It'll deter us from doing a lot of things that we might would do if we didn't have the right kind of fear. And the more I believe a man fears and loves God, the more obedient he'll be in his life, till at last he will delight greatly in the commandments of God. The man that God blesses obeys from the heart and not from coaxing and coercion and compulsion. Or not just having to stand on somebody all the time and just browbeat them to try to get them to do right, to live right, to be faithful to God. A person that loves God the way they should, hey, they'll want to do the things that will bring glory to it. They'll want to do the things that will be a blessing in their life. And then when they do these things, then that's when that happiness and that joy starts bubbling up in an individual's heart. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That word perfect has the idea of loyalty. It's not having knowledge that will evidence you to be believers. The devil has knowledge, hey, but lacks obedience, and that makes him a devil. true obedience of faith is a cheerful obedience. We're being obedient because we love God. We're being obedient to His commandments because we want to please Him, because we want to show Him honor. Hey, we want to show Him reverence in everything that we do. It's a great responsibility to be called a Christian. So many people, they say they love the Lord. They say that they've trusted Him as their Savior. And they go to church and people know that. But then when they get away from church and away from their Christian friends, they end up with that crowd that don't never know that they've ever passed from death into life. True obedience of faith will make a person do right. If we really love God like we say we do, hey, we'll be careful what we get involved in. Hey, we need to ask ourselves, I believe, hey, do I obey God cheerfully or with reluctance? Do I obey God cheerfully or with reluctance? Then we see the third thing, God blesses those who are gracious. Those who are gracious. Verse 4 there in Psalms 112 said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. The man that God blesses is a gracious man. Hey, that's full of kindness to all those that are around him. And the man I believe that God blesses is in God's image bearer, is God's image bearer. He's going to reflect Jesus Christ in his life to others. He's going to be gracious to those, hey, that are even ungracious to them. Psalms 111 verse 4 said, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I believe the person that God blesses, they emulates the graciousness of God. Hey, they'll show Jesus Christ through their life to others, hey, that they come into contact with. Sometimes we want to lash back and we don't want to be gracious to someone. And really, a lot of times we don't know what that individual might be going through. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. You know, it's pretty hard to do good to them that does bad to you. You want to get back at them. That's just the human nature. Do we want to respond and retaliate the same way that they've treated us? He said, Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. We ought to be able to get along with anybody, but it's so sad. A lot of times the people pushes your button and we just, that old man lashes out. He responds most of the time before he thinks. And I believe a spiritual person will think before they speak. If we're the kind of spiritual person that we should be, hey, we will think before we react to those that are lashing out or doing us wrong. Verse 29 said, And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. God, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That's a hard one to deal with, ain't it? Said, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That'd be like somebody coming up and say, Hey man, loan me $20. And the next week rolled, he said, I'll pay you next week. And the next week comes around, he don't mention the $20. The next week he comes around, he don't mention the $20. It rocks home for a month or 2 months and he don't mention the $20. I mean, you give it to him in good faith, but what Jesus is saying, give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That's a pretty hard pill to swallow, ain't it? Somebody borrows something from you, gets it, you expect them to pay it, don't you? Verse 31 said, And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, and what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So when we start looking at what Jesus said for us to do, it's a pretty hard pill to swallow sometimes, ain't it? When you do good to somebody, you expect them to do good. And most of the time, that's why we do it. We're expecting something in return. But Jesus said, do it not expecting nothing in return. Notice also, God blesses those that are compassionate there in verse 4. He said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. I believe this individual feels for others and has pity on them as far as he or she can assist them in their time of trouble. You think about Acts chapter 4 when the church was early there and what was taking place there in verses 32 through 37. You find that they were selling their goods and they were selling their property. And they were sharing it with other believers. But we're not going to do that, are we? I'm glad God's not asking us to do that. Hey, but they were willingly selling what they had for the ongoing of the church. You can't hardly get people to pay their tithes and give offerings now, much less sell what they have if there's a need. If a church house needed building, you know, and the money that it took a certain amount, sometimes it's hard to get it today. But in Acts, they were selling those things. Barnabas, he sold a parcel of land. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold it and they lied about what they got for it, and the Holy Ghost struck them dead. But 1 John 3:17 said, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Hey, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. No man is going to be like Christ that doesn't care for others. Jesus, when he was always hanging around with the poor people. He wasn't hanging around with the rich and the publicans. He was hanging around with the poor people most of the time. Or the rich. I mean, he was hanging around. The publicans came to him, but those that were rich, he sort of gravitated to poor people when he was here on earth. And no Christian truly cares for others without caring for the souls of others. If there's ever been a time that we need to get new compassion, I believe it's in this day and hour that we're living in. People are looking for somebody to be compassionate toward them. And then, notice also, God blesses those who are righteous. Verse 4. He said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. As God is righteous in His dealings with men, hey, the man God blesses is righteous. God wants us to be righteous people. He wants us to be holy people. He wants us to live holy lives and clean lives. And that word righteousness, just means doing right. When this world is doing you wrong, it means just do right. Bob Jones Sr. said, if the stars fall out of the sky, the man ought to do right. And if there's ever been a time that we need to be the righteous people that God has called us to be, that He saved us to be, I believe it's today with all the unrighteousness that's around us that's crept into our land down through the times. And man has always been basically bad without Jesus, without a relationship with God. You'll find that if you read through the Bible that people's lives were sinful until they had a relationship with God. Psalms 106, verse 3 said, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So we see God blesses those who are righteous. You want God to bless things on your life? Live a righteous, godly life. Then notice also God blesses those who have a steadfast confidence in the Lord. God blesses those that have a steadfast confidence in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8 said, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemy. That word fixed, it means to be firm, to be established. And God blesses those that have steadfast confidence in God, that are established in the faith, hey, that trust God and look to God for their needs and to the every situation, whatever that situation might be, to have the confidence and believe that God will and can come through for us in any such situation. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, Bible said, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery, but people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." These, I believe, are some characteristics of those that God blesses. Don't look and consider just a few things about the consequences of the blessings that God bestows upon those who meet the condition. The consequences of the blessing that God bestows upon those who meet the condition. I believe that God provides a lasting legacy in an individual's life. There in verse 2 said, "His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." And God will provide a lasting legacy in your life. There, I believe in generational curses. Do you believe in a generational curse? There's some people that's just grown up around a life of sin and degradation and drugs and alcohol, and it just seems like it passes on their kids. They're brought up in that. And I believe those generational curses can be broken through Jesus Christ. I believe they can come out from that. But I also believe that an individual that loves God, that has the kind of relationship that God desires for us to have, I believe they can raise up their family and their seed and leave a legacy of people that love God. You look back through the Bible and you'll see individuals that had that kind of a life. And even looking at the lives of the kings, you know, a lot of those, they had some good kings, and then they would some come out of those that was good, but then they would end up being bad because of some sin and things that they had gotten involved in. But God provides a lasting legacy. Hey, that ought to be the desire of each and every family, is for to have a Christian home, a home that's pleasing to God. Kids grow up seeing mom, dad love God, love the church, love the Bible, love the things of God, and train them up in such a manner. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way it'll go, and when it's old, it'll not depart from it." I believe if we really mean business with God, I believe if we're true and we're faithful and we do live our lives and are honest with our family and our God and other people, I believe we can raise up a families and pass that along to those children, and they'll pass it to their children. I mean, the Bible wouldn't say that He would if He wouldn't. God provides a lasting legacy to those that will honor Him, those that will fear Him, those that will reverence Him in their life. And most of the time, people don't reverence God in every area of their life. They're wishy-washy, they're hypocritical, and kids see that and they depart. Most of the time, that's what happens. Now, I've seen some kids that grew up and served God. Mom and Daddy had a good testimony, and they raised a family, and then they raised their children to serve God, and we see that. But God provides a lasting legacy. God supplies His every need. God supplies His every need there in verse 3. He said, "Wealth and riches shall be in His house, and His righteousness endureth forever." God will supply our needs if we meet those conditions that God bestows upon those that He blessed, that He has blessed. Then the third thing, God makes His presence known in the midst of difficulties. Verse 4, He said, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." I believe that God will make His presence known when the dark times come, when the hard difficulties comes in our lives. Hey, I believe if we'll honor God, if we'll reverence Him, if we'll love Him the way that we should, hey, I believe He'll make Himself known to us. When it looks like there's no way to turn, there's no way to go, hey, there's no other avenue, hey, I'm glad that God will make His self known to us through those difficult times. And then, verse 10, we see God gives him victory over his enemies. God gives him victory over his enemies. The Bible said, the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. I'm glad that God will give us victory over our enemies. If we'll live our life according to this Bible and what God has told us to do and how to conduct ourselves, and that we can be that individual, hey, that God blesses. And I believe He'll manifest Himself in our lives the way He's proven and said He would do in our lives. But God will give us victory over the enemies that come at us. And a lot of times we want to handle all this stuff ourselves, so to speak. But I believe there's some evidences here of a God-centered life. Those that will live for God, those that will walk with God on a regular and a daily basis, instead of, you know, just being nonchalant in our lives, we're up, we're down, and if we just stay faithful, consistent, and walk with God and allow Him to bless us the way He wants to bless us, I think we can live a happy life. I believe we can live a good life. This world is really rocking and reeling tonight. I mean, we look around all the sin that you can't look at news hardly. There's just so much wickedness going on. It's just almost depressing to look at it. And some of the things that people does, you know, it's just crazy. But the Bible says, blessed is the man. And I believe that's the key right there, that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. You know, the best thing we can do is fall in love with His Bible, this Bible. Delight in the commandments of God instead of them being drudgery and people say, well, it's just hard to be a Christian. It's hard in this day that we're living in to be the kind of Christian that we should be. The Bible says the ways of a transgressor is hard. You look at the ways of a transgressor and see where their life ends up. Look what the drugs do. Look what the alcohol does. Hey, look what the immorality is doing in our land and what's taking place in people's lives. And people are so miserable. They're looking for something, and they're not finding it because they're not looking in the right place. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be here this evening. We thank You for these Psalms, Lord, that we can look at from time to time, Lord. And I just pray that You'd help us to be yielded to You, Lord, that we'll allow Your Word to get in us and we'll get in Your Word, Lord, and study and read and apply it to our lives, Lord, where we can receive that blessing from You this evening, Father. Lord, we love You and we thank You for the opportunity we have to come out this evening to worship for just a little while, Lord. I pray that You'd go with us through this week, Lord. Realize the hustle and bustle of Christmas. People get so busy and get caught up in a family get-together. We're prone to forget, Lord, what it's all about, Father. Help us to always remember, Lord, what Christmas is and what it represents, Father. Lord, I pray that You come back and meet with us on Sunday, Lord. Give us a good day there on Christmas Day. Lord, realize everybody be home. Most of this world will be home. But may, Lord, that Your churches that gather together on Christmas Day, Lord, it'll be a special day to them that'll take time and come and worship, Lord, at Your house. Father, we love You and thank You again for Your many blessings upon us. Go with us or go our separate way. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, amen.